Morning. How's everybody? Good. We are in a series called Belong, but before we do that, we want to talk a little bit about Financial Peace University, which launches the free preview night is tonight. So if you've been considering this, you'll want to come tonight. It's free. You don't have to sign up for anything. You can just kind of check it out. The actual class starts next week, and if you have purchased the material in the past, you can still join the class. It costs you nothing. You already have the material. That's what you're paying for anyway. We have free childcare available. That's at 6:30 tonight. But these are graduates from last year, these three people. This is Beth and Brian Stansel and Sarah Rainey. So we want to ask them a little bit about their experience through Financial Peace University. So it kind of gives you some inside information. I know we've been watching videos for 3 or 4 weeks now, but this will let you know real life people that have experienced some financial freedom themselves. So if you want to ask them questions afterwards, you can certainly do that. Beth, we're going to start with you this morning. What's the biggest takeaway that you guys took as a family from Financial Peace University last year?
As a family, I feel like it's helped us to look at the big picture and to plan ahead a little bit better for unexpected things that come up. With two little ones, of course, it's hard to always do that, but to at least have an idea of the budget in place that we need for each season for clothes and shoes as they grow, and as well for us. So I think that's in addition to just as the kids grow older, to teach them how to plan. Now, they're not that great with anything related to planning as they're three, but I really hope that as they grow, they can see, oh, well, this is our budget for the grocery store. This is our budget for entertainment for the month, and this is what we can plan to do, and that's what we'll do. So I really hope that they can follow that model as they grow up and teach their families one day the same way.
Do you find yourself the conversations with your, even at 3 years old, are a little different because you have this new knowledge?
Maybe with Brian, not so much with the kids. Yeah. I mean, we look at dining out a little bit differently, but they don't understand that because they always want Skyline.
Right.
So
there's nothing wrong
with
that.
Not a big difference in that, but hopefully one day they'll learn.
Right. Brian, how about for you? What are some of the victories you guys experienced, maybe even during Financial Peace and maybe even post Financial Peace University?
One of the object lessons that came home for us, one of the Christmas days when you guys watched the kids for us, which should be like all the time. Beth and I went out to dinner, Blue Ash Tavern, I think, and it was a good meal. They have good food there. And we go to pay the check, and typically you just slap down the card, right, and people go on. Well, Beth, to her credit, is like, no, we're going to pay this with cash, which is one of the Dave Ramsey's tenants. And it was just one of those, like, kind of, not eureka moments, but a perception change, a paradigm shift of, oh, yeah, pay this with cash, and then you're done with it. You're never going to see it again. It's not going to show up on a credit card statement. You don't have to pay it at the end of the month with everything else. It's done. It's over and done with. And driving home, it kind of hit both of us, like, this is different, yeah. Paying with something with cash. Another example was everyone kind of rates themselves on credit scores or, okay, we're doing okay financially if we have a higher credit score or whatever. One of the things that really struck me with Dave Ramsey is one of the videos has him saying, someone walked up to him saying, yeah, I have like a 790 credit score or an 800 credit score. And he says, I'm sorry. And that was just such a, like, what? Yeah. But he goes on to explain how that means you're really good at paying off debt. Or you're really good at carrying debt and making lenders happy. So it was a very different perspective, and I think a very good one.
Sarah, how about you? You went through Financial Peace University. What are some things that you've learned about your life and things that have changed since participating in Financial Peace University?
So when I signed up for the class, I was pretty overwhelmed with debt myself. I have a total of three student loans to pay back, a car payment, and a couple credit card bills that I wasn't very proud of. So, sorry.
You're fine.
So, I was very determined to get myself in a better position. I was newly divorced, and I just felt like I was struggling quite a bit, just financially. I felt like I was just in a bad rut. So after a lot of self-discipline, determination, a lot of praying, and a lot of doing nothing, and I mean doing nothing, it's like going to work, that was about it. I went to work. And
you come
I went,
to Financial Peace University.
And come to church on Sundays. That's all I did. I did not do anything fun for a long period of time. And I'm really proud to say that after taking the class and up till this pretty much this past week, I have paid off a total of, I've paid off my car, I've paid off 2 student loans, I paid off 2 credit cards, and I've paid off a total of $12,733. And it's very exciting.
So now you can go have some fun.
I can. My goal now is getting myself into another position, which is home ownership. And not only home ownership, but then also, like Kathy and Greg were talking last week, tithing more. During my time, when I was over the course of the period of coming to Financial Peace, I still gave. I still put in an offering every week because I think that's important. But I plan to give more money back now as a result of that. So
you said something I think is important, that, like, I did no fun. Like, I had no fun. But I bet that was fun, the share that you paid over $12,000.
It is. It is, because I was telling my parents about it the other day, and they were just, like, amazed at what I've done in the 6 to 9 months. I mean, that's a lot of money. $12,000 is
a lot of money.
But it's a lot of self-discipline, so and just being very determined. And I feel like I'm in a better position now, that I can actually just... I can make better decisions now that I'm in a better position with my money.
Right.
So I encourage any of you to, and I know you're going to say this, but I encourage any of you to sign up for this.
It's better if it comes from you guys than from me, honestly.
Because it was a drag. I mean, I don't live close to here. So it was a drag thinking, oh, I got to come back to church on Sunday evenings for 2 hours, watch a video. But, you know, it was so self-engaging, or it was engaging with other people at your tables. You can share as much or as little as you want to. And it was very rewarding. And I may pop in a few times and sit in the class just for, go through some of the steps again myself. Maybe that I didn't pick up something that I learned before, but it was definitely a good class, and I'm so glad that I took the time to invest my time in going through the class. So
we'll end with one more question, which is, what would you say to anybody that's considering it or thinks they don't need it? But before you answer, I didn't say this earlier, but it's about $100 to invest in the material. We make no money. The childcare is provided for free. And what we've said as a church is, if you come to 7 of the 9 weeks, we will give you $100 back. We believe in the program that much. Imagine you're up here next year and you're sharing, we paid off $12,000. We had no fun for 6 to 9 months, but boy, are we having fun now paying off this debt. And we want to reinvest that back into you. So if you come 7 of the 9 weeks, got to make the commitment of your time, we'll give you your money back. So what would you say, now that I've kind of removed the financial excuse for people, to people that are still wrestling with whether they should even come to the free preview night tonight?
Do it. it's well worth it. It's worth the investment. Like Dave says, you live like no one else, so you can live like no one else. It just hammers that home. It's well worth it. It takes time, even if you can't get your budget done by the first sequence of the class, stuff like that. It's a perspective change. It's a different view, of a different way of looking at things. You hear stories and examples, and if anything, it's basic education on stuff that maybe some of us were never taught.
Right.
Retirement stuff, IRAs, Roths, 401ks, what debt actually means, what the credit ratings are actually doing. It's just, think of it as education. It's literally a class in every sense of the word. Yeah. It's stuff we all should have learned, but either didn't or we forgot in lieu of worldly pleasures.
Yeah. Anything else, Beth or Sarah, you want to add?
For me, I think it opened my eyes most, thinking back to when my grandfather passed away, which is something I shared with the group. He was born 100 years ago, so it was a totally different time for him growing up and living as an adult as a farmer in central Illinois. Going through their house after he passed, we found money in the most random places. And I thought it was really funny at first that, oh, we found money in a book. We found money in a Bible. We found money in another Bible. But going through the class, it hit me. They didn't have any credit cards. And my grandparents were two of the happiest and most sufficient people I've probably known in my life. They enjoyed their retirement. They enjoyed their life. And they enjoyed just spending time with their family. And I think, in a way, that's something that our generation has lost a little bit with all of the available credit cards and everything else that you can get. And for us as a family, I think, to me, that was important, looking back and seeing how our society has changed and how to live and fulfill our goals, that we need to think more of the way my grandparents did.
Mm. Sorry, anything to add? Let's give these guys a round of applause. Thank you guys so much. I appreciate it. I'll take that from you. So again, that's tonight at 6:30. If you guys want to come on out for the free preview night, we would love to have you. I think it'd be well worth your time and investment. I mean, if we could turn, they say the average person pays off $5,300 in debt. So if you could use an extra $5,000, it's not going to cost you a whole lot as far as finances, because we'll give that money back to you. So you just got to find the time to do it. So we're excited to be able to offer it. Thanks for Terry for leading it again this year. We wouldn't be able to do it without his leadership for sure. So we'll transition. We've been in a series called Belong. And so for the last several weeks, we've really looked at these three themes. These three themes are this: we belong to Jesus, we belong to a larger family, and because we belong, we're inviting others to belong. So we spent 3 weeks just talking about that first idea or that first theme. And then last week, we started this whole idea of the second theme, which is we belong to a larger family. So we talked about struggle and wrestling and what that means in our faith and how that means as it relates to a larger family. So if you've missed any of those, you can simply go out to iTunes, listen to it on iTunes, or go to our Facebook page and watch the live feeds as well. So this week, we're going to continue in this theme. And there's something built into us. I said this last week, that our desire is to belong to a larger family, to belong to something bigger than ourselves. And this doesn't mean necessarily like just being a part of a bunch of people. We're like, I kind of fit in here. We mean belonging in the sense that when we're part of people, we're part of other people's lives into this larger family where our gifts are being leveraged, where our talents and our passions actually matter, where our part actually does more than just carrying our part, but it actually makes a difference in other people's lives, where people can serve us with their gifts and their talents and places that maybe we're not as gifted or talented in. This is why I believe, if you watch shows like Parenthood, This Is Us, even Friends and Full House, even Modern Family, I believe they're so popular because not just because of the humor in those shows, but because at the end of these shows, they wrap it up in a nice little bow oftentimes where somebody has really done something to invest in their lives. They've learned something about themselves because of the people in their lives, or simply they just realize they're loved. This is why I think some of these shows have such a pull to many of us. This is why we DVR them. This is why we watch them so closely. Now, my family, as I mentioned last week, they're kind of scattered throughout the country. I don't get to see them as much, but I was lucky enough to marry into a family that are still located right here in the Cincinnati area. As a matter of fact, they were lucky enough to attend the same church, and my in-laws live right up the street, and a lot of people would go, whoa, how difficult is that? Actually, we not only do we get along, we genuinely like each other, so that makes it a lot nicer, but I feel like I belong to a larger family in part because of the family I married into. We have friends at different seasons of life that have been way more family than friends, where we've celebrated the highs of life and we've been there for the lows and the struggles and the wrestling, as we talked about last week, with each other. So there's something about the value and the DNA that we've been created in to be a part of something bigger than ourselves, to this larger family where we can, again, put our pieces to play, where things matter because of what we bring to the relationship. And I'm sure you've been a part of these relationships, whether it's in the dating phase of somebody or just in family or friends, where when those relationships are going well, when you feel like you belong to them, you start to invest in them differently. You start to set aside time specifically to spend more time with these people, or him or her, or whoever you're dating. You invest your talents. You say, hey, I'm really good at this. I can help you with that. You start to invest your treasure or your finances, whether that's simply by, hey, let's go out to eat together. I want to buy you a birthday gift or an anniversary gift, or hey, let's go away for the weekend together. You start to invest everything that's really important to you into these relationships, into this larger family, because it matters. Because it's not just a good idea, it's a great idea, it's a biblical idea. It's those relationships where we can give and we receive. Our gifts, our talents matter. This is why it's so important to understand being a part of a larger family and why we're wired that way. We've been working, kind of partnering with North Star over in Loveland for several years. For the last 3 years, I've said this before, I've been hanging out with their staff on their staff meetings. I hang out with their content. They're doing the exact same series we are, so that's fun to share the ideas. Again, we feel like we're part of a larger family, but not just because, hey, they're a bigger church, and they are, but they're further down the road. And not because they're bigger, but because they're just older. They're 14 years old, so they've learned some things. So they can help us impart some wisdom and discernment as we process decisions. And they help us with leadership. They come here and teach sometimes. They've offered human resources. They brought prayer teams here and did a blessing over the church several weeks ago. So there's different ways that I experience just a deeper relationship. We get to experience as a church. We're a much better church because of partnering with them with certain things. We need to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. And when we are, we will sacrifice our time, our talent, and our treasure to invest in those relationships. So this morning, we're going to look at Romans chapter 12. If you brought your phone or your tablet, you got a favorite Bible app, you can open up that and head there. We're going to have all the verses right here on the screen. Now, this is a book called Romans, and the Apostle Paul writes this book to Romans, to Rome. And so he starts this letter to Rome with these 10 words that kind of set the stage for the whole book. So we're going to start there, and then we're going to jump to chapter 12. But this is the first 10 words of Romans. It says, this letter is from Paul, which we just discussed, a slave of Jesus Christ. Now, if you just stop there and sat on that one sentence for a while, you would quickly realize this is a man who belongs to Jesus. He understands that I belong to Christ. This is a man that is sold out to who Jesus is, what Jesus did, and what Jesus can continue to do when we have a relationship with him. He is leveraging his time, Paul is, his talent, and his treasure for the case of Christ. Everything in him says, Jesus is it. I am a slave to who he is. That sets the stage, really, for everything that we ever talk about, but certainly as it relates to this particular letter. So let's fast forward to chapter 12, where we're going to hang out the rest of the morning. And this is what it says in verse 1 of chapter 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Paul is saying, I want to urge you. I'm going to plead with you. I'm going to present to you. I'm going to push you. Brothers and sisters, family of God, something bigger than just us, something bigger than just me as it relates to a Christ follower, all of us that believe. So I'm urging you. And then he's going to spell out what he's urging us to do and what he's urging us to be. This whole idea of holy means set apart. That's exactly what we do when we're part of a larger family. That's exactly what we do when we have this great relationship with somebody. We set apart our time to invest in the relationship. We set apart our talent. Hey, I can help you with that project. We set aside some finances. Yeah, let's go to dinner. Let's invest in the relationship differently. That's what he's saying. Set apart means holy. Make time, sacrifice time for the kingdom of God, for the family of God. Let's read on. The next verse says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Brian beautifully spoke that earlier just in that little interview. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Do not conform. We could spend a series on this whole concept and this whole idea. I'm learning a lot about this personally myself, but do not conform what you see on TV, what you see society and culture say you should do, or what your neighbors are doing, or what your friends are doing. Do not be conformed with whatever social media says, how you need to present yourself with the right picture and the right filter and the right outfit at the right place. Do not conform with what everybody else says you should do. Be conformed, be renewed with the things of God. Renewal means I'm not going to do the same things that I've always done. I'm not going to repeat the same patterns. You can't leave here and go, I'm still going to use my credit card, but I'm going to get out of debt. I'm going to do the exact same things I've always done and get out of debt. I mean, that's why you go to Financial Peace University, to learn new skills, to make new choices. The same is true as it relates to relationships, as it relates to self-care, as it relates to your health, any of that. You cannot make the same choices and have different results. You need to make new choices, renew, choices that are sacrificial, that are holy and pleasing to God, Paul is saying. What are those things in your life? What are you struggling with that if there was a magic wand and we could wave it this morning, you would no longer struggle with them? You wouldn't have that. You wouldn't be conformed to the patterns of this world in those areas or that thing. That wand would renew you and you would make a different choice. That's what Paul is saying. But as it relates to Jesus Christ, as it relates to the larger family of God. Verse 3, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. Do not think of yourselves more highly than you should. And I think at first glance, we would read this and go, I don't do that. I do not think myself more highly than I should. But we do this in many different ways. Some of the subtle ways we do this is, oh yeah, I give a little more than they do. I don't have as much debt as $12,000. So you start to puff yourself up. I don't need that class. I don't need to go there. Oh, you know what I can do? I can fix things. I'm a fixer, so I could fix their problem. And we start to look at our gifts and our talents in a different light, and we think they're better than somebody else's. And so we start to puff ourselves up. We start to think of ourselves a little higher on the totem pole than we should. We think our investments mean more, our houses mean more, the clothes that we wear, the kids are behaving better than their kids, so boy, we're better parents than they are. We have more friends than they do. We're older, so we know more, or I'm younger, so you don't know as much. You know, I know all the new ways. You're still stuck in the old times and thinking that way, and we start to think of ourselves better than somebody else, and we think of ourselves more higher than we should. We get on our high horse. And Paul is saying, no, you shouldn't do that. Do not think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. So when we get on our high horse, even we don't know it, but we can look back in the rear view and go, boy, I have done that in certain times. When I'm in the office or we're in those conversations, I just think I'm a better leader than they are. And you might be. You actually might be the better leader. But when you start to think like, I'm just better than they are, I know this stuff more than they do, we're starting to think of ourselves higher than we should. We're on our high horse. And when we start to do this, there's a quick way to capture that thought, to renew it, to make a different choice, to put yourself in its right standing with God, is this. When you start to think of yourselves better than they are, or on a higher horse than they are, like, I'm just better than they are, instead of comparing yourself to them, compare yourself to God. Immediately, you'll go, I've got a long way. That gap is so wide. Because whoever you think you're better than in that particular thing, and again, you may be, they are better at something else than you are, because that's how God has created us. He's created us all uniquely gifted to do our part for the larger family of God. And then it says, extend the grace that is offered from Jesus to you. Extend that same grace to them. And then Paul hits the beauty of being a part of a larger family in verses 4 through 6. He says, for just as each of us has one body with many parts, many members, and these members do not all have the same function, my fingers operate different than my legs, so in Christ, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all others, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. Now, if you're a healthy person and you've ever been sick, even if you catch a cold, or if you've ever woken up in the next day and you're like, I got this crink in my neck, and the only thing I did was sleep. I mean, you don't realize how much you move your neck, or if your back hurts or you tweak your knee, you don't realize how much you do some of those day-to-day things until something's not working right. Is that true? Like, that's true of me. Like, my knee's been bothering me. We drove to Hilton Head. I'm getting old. Knee was fine. Got to Hilton Head. My knee hurt. I was sitting in the car the whole time. That's all I did. It still hurts today. Like, I've done something. And so I realize that when I'm doing things, boy, my body's just not working the way it should. And that's what Paul's saying, that, boy, when the body works the way it's supposed to, it's a beautiful thing. And, of course, he's talking about the body of Christ, us as a family of believers operating in the love and mercy and grace of Jesus. When our hearts work properly, when our lungs work properly, when our body operates properly, we are the best version, healthy-wise, as we can be. And that's what Paul is saying here. When we can operate uniquely in our gifts, when we wholly set aside our time, talent, and treasure for the kingdom of God, we do what only we can do because that's what God's created us to do. And we let them do what only they can do. And we operate together. The power that can happen, the expression of love that can happen in a community, in a family, in a relationship, is better than anything you could ever experience. I mean, when you think of just a local church, imagine if every church in America just operated, that whoever, whether a church of 20 or 20,000, if they offered all their time, talent, and treasure, offered up every part of their gifts back to the kingdom of God, even as it related to the local church, how much differently the local church could operate. And I don't just mean financially. Certainly financially, if everybody did that. Imagine if we could give away 25, 30, 40, 50%, as opposed to just 10%. Of our finances to go right back out to love and serve our community where all our needs were met. Nobody ever had to worry about a need. Wants would be different, but what they needed, they would get. Imagine if we were just all operating in this capacity to love one another well, how much differently our lives would look. Imagine when, you know, Irma hits and Harvey hits, that churches that are fully funded, not just financially, but physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, the impact they could make to go attack and help the cleanup, where they could use some of their gifts certainly to clean up and rebuild, but then you have this spiritual power that everybody's together, everybody's operating in that gifts, and then you can pray for people, you can help them, you can teach them about Jesus by what you say and what you do, even more importantly. That's what it means to be operating at full capacity as a body of Christ, where our time, talent, and treasure is reinvested in a way that it's like a slave. Where it's not like Jesus, you're just doing it because Jesus told you to do it. You're doing it because you have just kind of operated out of that mentality that I am a slave to you, Jesus, because I love you so much. I believe in everything you can do and want to do that I am going to invest back into you. What does that mean for you? First, I think it starts with just simply the decision. I want to do this. I want to take a step. As we say here, what's my next step? How am I going to take a step? What is it? First, you got to decide, I can do this. I can do this. When you guys decide, I can do this, then as a church, we can decide, we can do this. Because this isn't just some pipe dream that you can talk. I believe this can happen. It's happened. Read scripture. That's how the early church started. Called them followers of the way. We could recreate that here at Blue Ash Community Church, but even bigger, it can be recreated at every church. So what does that look like for you? I don't have those answers. I have lots of questions on ways you could do that. If you're thinking about the local church, you could start that process and going, hey, I can't pay off $12,000 in debt today, but can you start with $20 a week? I don't know. Come to Financial Peace University. You'll find out what you really can do as opposed to what you think you can do. Is it just simply saying, hey, I'm willing, I'll serve, I'll do an hour a week, give you an hour a week, 2 hours a month, whatever that might be. Andy, how would you use my gifts? How would you use my time? Trust me, there's a place that we would love to plug you into, but first we'd want to know what you're passionate about, what you're willing to do. Maybe it's just investing. Sarah mentioned it, like, through this whole thing, she gave something. Again, this isn't a financial thing. And I haven't said this in a while, so I'll say this again. If we do a tithe challenge, so if you tithe for 90 days and you're like, hey, I don't like it, we'll give your money back. But we want to remove every excuse that we can. So Scripture says to tithe. So we say, if you're going to tithe and you think Andy's just after the money for Blue Ash Community Church, I can give you a list of 4 or 5 different churches. I've done this in the past. Tithe to them. Practice the principle. I don't need to know who they are. That's between you and God anyway. But tithe to them. Do the practice of it. Offer your talents and gifts somewhere. If you're like, Andy just wants more people to volunteer, so I'm not, that feels a little weird. Volunteer somewhere. Put into practice these things that Paul says, set aside, sacrifice your time, your talent, and your treasure for the larger family, because we all belong to one. Jesus gave us everything that we have. How are we showing that appreciation for what we've been given and who gave it? Where is the grace? Where is the mercy? Where is the love being expressed? And if you're like, man, I'm just not doing a good job, here's the beauty. You can start today. You can start today and make a different choice. You can start to renew your mind by just saying, I'm not making that choice anymore. I'm now going to make this one. So grab your Connect cards as you would have gotten when you came in. Craig likes to steal mine every time, so I'm going to grab one down here. If you didn't grab one in your program, there's one on your seat back, except for that one where I just stole it. But a couple of things we do with this. One is, a lot of people are like, hey, he just wants my information. That's really the least of my concerns, honestly, is if you would fill this out, whatever you're comfortable with, because when you fill this out, we believe you're saying, God, I am ready. I'm ready for you to speak, and you're going to say something, and then I'm going to write a next step down. And the reason this is important for two reasons. One, we want to pray for your next step, and if there's any follow-up that we can do to help you along that way, we can do that. But two, when you write something down, just that simple act, you're more likely to do it. Statistically, when you read about that kind of thing, when you write something down, you're more likely to do it. So that's why we want you to do this. You're going to drop it in the offering in a few minutes when it goes by. But the first next step that we're offering, and again, you may have your own, you write it down there and stick it in the offering, is this. Belong to Jesus. If you've not made that decision, if you've not put Jesus first, if you've not said, Jesus, come and help me renew my mind by renewing my life, that is the most important decision you will ever make. Because he will help you along the way, like any good father would. And if you've done that, if you make that decision today, write that, check that box. We want to get you some more information. Don't do that alone. Don't be a Christ follower all by yourself. That's not a biblical model anyway. But we want to give you a Bible. If you don't have one, they're on the tables in the back, and we have a next step book. These are for anybody, but specifically if you've made that decision, ironically it's called The Next Step, but it helps you take next steps on how to read your Bible, how to forgive others, how to serve people around you. It's a great resource. Take that on your way out. The second next step for some of us might be this. Stop thinking of myself more highly than I should and start set apart time, talent, and treasure for the larger family of God. Quit thinking that my skill set, my position, who I am, where I live, what I do is more important than anybody. Because what I'm learning is Jesus doesn't look at anything that the culture says is important. He's not impressed. He's looking at the heart and going, what are you doing to show your appreciation for what I've done? How are we giving back to Jesus? The third one is, maybe you're doing some of that. Maybe you're in a position to do more of that. And again, these decisions are between you and Jesus. But you can make the decision to offer more of your time, more of your talent, and more of your treasure. How much more? I don't know. But Jesus does. I'm convinced he wants to tell you if you want to ask. So they're going to go ahead and take up our offering. You can drop your Connect cards in the buckets when they go by. I'll be available to pray for anybody over here. This is just one of the ways that you can just receive a blessing, or you can get more information sometimes. Sometimes God will only do things through prayer. He wants to speak to you in certain ways. And it doesn't have to be scary. You don't even have to say a word. You can just tell me your name and just say, I just want to hear what God has to say, and we'll see what he does. But if you have something specific, we'd love to pray for you there as well. We have communion tables, two in the front, one in the back. You simply take the cracker, which represents Jesus' body. You dip it in the juice, which represents Jesus' blood that was shed. And we do this in remembrance of who he was, what he did, and what he can do. You can come up by yourself. You can come up as a family, as a small group. You don't have to come up at all. Again, this is between you and Jesus. Nobody's counting how many people go to communion. Nobody's paying as much attention as maybe even think. This is time that we try to set aside because it's holy for you and for God. Let me pray. God, thank you so much for the words from Paul and the letter. God, in the challenging words that we want to be a body that doesn't have a kinked knee. We want to be a body at the church that says we are offering everything we can for you. That we so appreciate the work that you did on the cross that we want to give back freely and openly and joyfully. So God, for those of us that hear this morning and maybe they don't even feel like they're part of a larger family, would you come and speak to them even now by the power of your Holy Spirit? Just speak to them. Tell them how much you love them. How proud of them you are. God, wherever they're feeling a sense of guilt and shame, those negative voices, God, that's the enemy. And we say no to him. By the blood of Jesus, we push him away. Those voices have no right in this moment. Instead, God, come and give us the joy that you promise. The peace that surpasses all the understanding. Reveal to each one of us individually what you want our next step to be. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're free to get prayer and communion.